This morning, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians. So take your Bible this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and just feel like this is what the Lord would have me preach to you today. we go through trials. We've got folks in our church going through some trials, going through some valleys. Some you know about, some you don't know about. Well, I want to preach to you this morning. Now, all of us, I believe, need what's here. But if you will, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. The Bible said, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of God, Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." In chapter 11 of the book of 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul gives the testimony of some of the things he went through, some of the things that happened to him. I mean, shipwrecks and beatings and all kinds of things, stoning, what happened. And he begins this chapter by telling of the experience that he had outside the city of Lystra when he was stoned and left for dead. And he uses that account to lead into telling how God kept him from thinking too much of himself. All right? Paul puts it this way. He said, "God gave me a thorn in the flesh." He said, "I had that thorn in the flesh." And we're talking about the Apostle Paul. We're talking about the man who had healed many. We're talking about the individual who had raised some from the dead. Yet that same fella couldn't get rid of this infirmity. He could not heal himself. And God said no when he asked to be delivered. God said, "No, I won't do it." But then he turned around and said something so much better. So much better. Because what God told Paul was, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee." Folks, I want to tell you, his grace is still sufficient. All right? It's still sufficient. When we talk about grace and we try to describe it, people use all kinds of ways of doing it. There is an acrostic where they take the letters of the word grace and then put it as the first letter of the word and make this God's riches at Christ's expense. And that's a pretty good thing to say, I guess. Grace is something, it is completely unmerited or undeserved favor, all right? Grace is truly receiving. It means we receive the opposite of what we really deserve, all right? Now, I want to say this to you. whatever definition you want to go with, or whatever saying that may help you to understand grace, then one thing I want to be sure you remember is this: God's grace is sufficient. It is sufficient. Not was sufficient. Not used to be sufficient. No, it is sufficient right now. It's sufficient. Now, I don't know about you, but I read these verses, and I read verse 10, and I honestly want to say to you, I'd rather it be different. Yes, sir. Paul said, I glory, all right? I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. Now, those words are easy to read, but it's a different thing to endure them. Different thing to endure. Oftentimes we read the scripture and it flows out as we read the words, but you stop and think about what's that talking about. To endure those things is difficult. It's tough. But I want to tell you, my friend, I believe with all my heart God's grace is still sufficient for whatever you have to face, for whatever you have to go through. Let me just give you a few ways this morning God's grace is sufficient. Number one, and I never, never want to forget this, God's grace is sufficient for salvation. Salvation. Look back in Acts chapter 15, all right? I am repeatedly accused of going too fast when I'm going to scriptures, all right? We were up at the hospital visiting Dodie, and a student, I think, or someone had taken her Bible and had put those little tabs on there where you can find the book in the Bible easier. Now, I'm going to just suggest something different to you. I suggest you learn the books of the Bible. Just learn the books of the Bible. I've never, to me, those things hinder me. They don't help me. And I suggest, but even Dodie said, because sometimes this guy here goes too fast. All right, so by now you've had time to find Acts chapter 15, all right? I want you to look with me at verse 11. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. How? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, folks, the Bible makes it real plain that salvation is by grace. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Through faith. Hey, that's a verse every child of God ought to memorize. I often use it in witnessing to people. I'll take them over there and I say, hey, look, here's what it says. It's by grace. It's by grace. You say, why do you make that emphasis? Because salvation cannot be achieved any other way. It can't be. Salvation's not attained by works. Hey, by the way, let me say this to you. It's not maintained by works either. It's given by God, and the Bible said we're kept by the hand of God, all right? It's by grace we're saved, and it's in Jesus Christ and His grace alone, through faith alone, that we're saved, all right? I mean, that's the only way. Titus chapter 3, I'm going to read this verse in a moment. It is the only way. It is strictly through grace. You say, preacher, you make a big deal out of it. You bet we make a big deal out of it because of the truth, all right? Titus 3, verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Hey, not by works. Not by works. You say, well, I'm going to do my best to live a good life. Boy, I hope you will. But it won't save your soul. Just will not save your soul. You're not born again by anything you can do. And aren't you glad it doesn't come with a price tag? I'm so glad that I don't have to look at the price tag of salvation and think of how much money and then think, how in the world am I going to be able to afford that? Are you like me? I go places sometimes and looking at things, and I look at it, and usually before very long, I'm looking at the price tag, because when I look at the price tag, it tells me if I need to look at the article anymore, all right? And I look at the price tag and go, yep, nah, not me, moving right along, you know. It's moving right along. That's out of my price range. I look at that price tag. Boy, I'm so glad. I'm so glad there's no monetary figure put on the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, it's by grace. It's by grace, the grace of God. And hey, once again, His grace is sufficient. It's sufficient. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean, it's sufficient. There is sufficient grace for everybody. For everybody. I've had people say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. Right, I don't. But I know what He did. I know what He did. And He said, my grace is sufficient. That death that He died on the cross took care, I believe, of the sin price of all mankind. Any man's ever lived. I don't believe it. It's limited, all right? I believe it's available, okay? His grace is sufficient for salvation. If you're saved this morning, you're saved because of the grace of God. The grace of God. I'm saved this morning by the grace of God. I'll take a step further. I'm called to preach by the grace of God. Not because of me. Not because God looked down and said, now there's an outstanding young man. Talented. Good. Boy, he can do it. No, He looked down there and said, I believe I can make something out of him. If He'll let me. Just the grace of God. Not man, no, nothing, deserve nothing. God did it. It's His grace. Can I say this to you? Not only is His grace sufficient for salvation, but it is sufficient for suffering. For suffering. You remember back there where we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and the things that Paul said he was going through? I'll read them again for you. Some of them in verse 9. 2 Corinthians 12, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. It's made perfect in weakness. In weakness. He said, all of those things, he said, I take pleasure in them. Why? Because His grace is sufficient for suffering. The Apostle Paul knew what it was to suffer physically. Man, he knew it. He had been beaten three times. Three times. All right? He had suffered shipwreck. He had been stoned. Now, stoning, I don't think we can conceive of what stoning is like. We've been hit by a rock. You've been hit by a rock? One was enough for me to go, whoa, you know, only more than that. Sometimes I still get out with old weed eater and it'll pick up a rock and pop me a little bitty tiny thing. And I'm rubbing it for 30 minutes, you know. And it's not even bleeding. But I think I'm dying. Hey, Paul said, I've been through all of that. And he said, I found out God's grace is sufficient for my suffering. Let me say this to you. Sometimes in this life, folks have to endure trials and trouble. They're called upon to suffer. Sometimes it's mentally. Sometimes it's physically. Sometimes it's spiritually. We're called upon to suffer. Now, I don't know anybody who enjoys that. I have never raised my hand and said, yeah, let me have a little more of that, Lord. I never have. But I'll tell you this, in every case, God's grace is sufficient to see you through it. It's sufficient. It's sufficient. Some folks are, you know, I can't help but right now I'm thinking of Dodie Hodges in the hospital. Pain. Pain. A lot of pain. A lot of pain involved in what she's going through. But I'm telling you, God's grace is sufficient. It's sufficient. You may have gone through some experiences. God's grace is sufficient. You may have some coming. Won't you know God's grace is sufficient? You say, preacher, how do I prepare for it? You just say, okay, Lord, I just want to be in your will. You stay in his will. If the trial comes, the testing comes, the suffering comes, Lord, give me grace. Give me grace. I've said this before. I may say it again before I get through with the message this morning. I don't believe God gives you the grace until you need the grace. It's not something he gives you and said, keep it in your pocket or keep it in the drawer at the home or in the filing cabinet. And when you need it, go get it. No, I believe God gives it when you need it. When you need it. And God's grace is sufficient. It's sufficient for salvation. It'll be sufficient for suffering. But can I give you on the bright side, it's sufficient for serving. It's sufficient for you serving him. A lot of times when people are called upon to serve God, it's amazing what you begin to hear. There's a lot of Moses in the world. Moses, I want you to go and you'd lead my people. You go stand before Pharaoh. You tell him to let my people go. Moses immediately said, wait a minute. Let me explain my situation. I've got this and this and this. You got the wrong man. Man, I think of God's people. There's so many of that's what we do. We get called upon and we begin to make excuses. We hear a lot of, well, I can't do that. I'm not able to do it. I can't. You know, preacher, don't ask me to do that. I can't do it. Hey, God's grace is sufficient. God's got a place of service. He wants you to serve. You can do it. You can do it. I guarantee you. I've told you before, when I was in high school, the worst times of high school for me were in stupid English class. It's part of the reason I still hate English. Because it was in English class, they came up with a wonderful idea. We're going to give an oral report. I just seen pass on that. I didn't want to do it, hated to do it, and prayed, Lord, even so come, Lord Jesus, before I have to give this report. Now, you think I'm kidding. That's the truth. That is the truth. I prayed more fervently for the Lord to come as a high school in English class than any other time of my life. Lord, deliver me from this. Deliver me. And you say, but preacher, you stand up, you know, all the time on Sunday. Yeah, but that's because of God giving the grace to do it. It's because of God's grace. Grace is given to us to serve him. To serve him. God's power. Look in Acts chapter 4, would you? Acts chapter 4. God's power was on the early church, all right? And God's power was on them. I want you to notice what it says in verse 33 of Acts chapter 4. It says, and with great power gave the apostles witnesses of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But notice the rest of that verse. And great grace was upon them all. Amen. Could I just point out to you how many of the disciples were of that outgoing type who never met a stranger? You know, they were fishermen. Fishermen. You don't normally think, well, I want somebody to preach to a crowd. I'm going to pick the fishermen. Why did God do it? Because grace. Old Peter was the one called upon to preach that day at Pentecost. Not a learned man. Not a man of letters. Not a man who had gone to college. Not against college, by the way. Not that at all. But a man that God picked, and he gave him the grace and empowered him to stand there. Why? Through grace. Through grace. You see, if God wants you to serve, he'll give you the grace that you need to serve him, all right? Not only did they have great power, but the Bible said great grace was upon them. Now, that was not given to be wasted. Hey, did you hear me? It wasn't given to be wasted. It was given, power and grace were given for service. For service. That God would be served, all right? Hey, can I say this to you? He still gives that grace. Look in Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. Nothing has changed, all right? God's still in the business of giving grace when it's needed. Acts chapter 14, look down in verse 26. It says, let's start in verse 25. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down unto Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. Hey, there's still, God gives sufficient grace for you to do the work that's needed. You say, well, I don't have the ability. No, but you can get the grace. The grace of God. It's not dependent on your ability. It's not dependent on your talent. Okay? It is not that way at all. It's God's grace given to you as you serve God. That's what it is. You said, preacher, I could never teach Sunday school class. You could if God wants you to. You could if God wants you to. He'll give you the grace. He'll give you the ability, all right? He'll give you what you need. You know why? Because his strength is made perfect in your and my weakness. It's God's grace. Hey, you know why God does it that way? God does it that way so you and I don't get the big head. Can I say this to you? If anybody could have got and taken credit, it was the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was unlike Peter. Peter was an unlearned and ignorant man in that day. The Apostle Paul was a very educated man in that day. Man, he had had the best education just about you could get. But God said, I'm going to fix it so Paul doesn't think it's Paul. It's God. It's God. It's not what I can do. It's not what you can do. It's what God can do through us. Okay? It's what he can do. When he gives us the grace that we need, it's amazing what we can do. Amazing what we can do. So don't sit back when God's call comes to you. Now, by the way, I'm not just talking about call to preach. I'm talking about just call to serve. Wherever it is, all right? Don't think, can't do it. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. Preacher, I'm shy. God's grace help you get over that. God's grace help you get over that. Help you get through it. Well, I just don't have that ability. So, all right, God's grace will help you. He'll make you able. All right? He can do it. His grace is sufficient. It's sufficient for salvation. Okay? It's sufficient for suffering. It's sufficient for service. But I'll tell you something else. Now, some of you are not going to like this, all right? You could skid along through the first three, but we get to this and you're not going to like it. Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, some of you have been around a while, and when I said 2 Corinthians chapter 8, a little smile spread across your face because you know where we're going, all right? Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. All of this chapter is speaking about giving. Hey, His grace is sufficient for sacrificing. Sufficient for sacrificing. God gives grace to those who would give. He gives His grace, all right? Now, a lot of Christians have no interest in obtaining that grace, because they'd rather be selfish than sacrifice. Just rather be selfish than sacrifice themselves and their means for the one who sacrificed so much for them. I'm going to tell you, I'm glad my dad taught me to give as a kid, as a young kid. Now, when we were little kids, we always, Dad and Mom, one, always gave us an offering, and we would take it and we'd give it in Sunday school. We always had an offering to give. Now, it didn't hurt us at all, because it was out of their hand. It was out of their pocket. I mean, you know, Lord, you know, Dad, got some offering. I mean, as kids, we'd learn to come and give. Need that offering, and so we'd go give it, all right? But then the day came where we began to make some money. And I've told you about it, but I'm going to do it again to illustrate it. The first time I was ever gave, I started getting allowance. We started getting 50 cents a week. The money was pouring in. Pouring in. Now, I do want to say it, those days you could buy a Coke for 6 cents.
Amen.
You could buy a good-sized candy bar for a nickel.
Amen.
So we were living it up. I mean, we didn't have any other needs, so here we are. I mean, 50 cents a week. My dad taught us, he said, now, if you're making 50 cents a week, your tithe is a nickel because it's 10%. And so we started giving that. And I you know, he said, well, did it hurt you? In all honesty, I never thought about it.
Amen.
In all honesty, I never thought about it. Because let's be honest, 50 cents a long time ago, nothing to it. I've never had any before, so now I've got 45 cents to do what I want to with. No problem. It was okay. But I'm going to tell you what I found out. God's grace is sufficient that as that 50 cent a week increased, that the increase in my tithe didn't hurt a bit more, and it doesn't hurt any more now than it did when I was making 50 cents a week. Now, I was probably overpaid at 50 cents a week, all right? God's good, though. God's grace, all right? His grace is sufficient for sacrificing. Could I just say this to you? I'm not chewing you out. I don't know. And by and large, I believe our church is a good giving church. People give, and I'm glad. But I just think maybe there's one or two of you out there never have got in on that, and you don't know what you're missing. You just don't know what you're missing. It is such a blessing to learn to give to God and enjoy that grace. I've said this before. I was a very selfish individual. There's a person here that has told me, preacher, quit saying that. But I was selfish. And I remember one time being in a situation where I should have paid for the meal. But the check came, and I sat there quietly until the other person said, I'll take it. I'll pay. I've kicked myself for that over and over again, because I've found that giving helps me not to be selfish. Giving just helps me not to be selfish. And I've learned to do that, and I'm not selfish. So if you need 50 cents, come by. I'll help you out, all right? Hey, it's amazing what God will do for you if you'll just get in on, ask God to give you that grace and let you give. Hey, it's good. It's good. God's grace is sufficient. It's sufficient for salvation. It's sufficient for suffering. It's sufficient for serving. And I guarantee it's sufficient for sacrificing. But let me say this to you. His grace is sufficient for sailing away. You said, what are you talking about? I'm not talking about getting on a boat and going across the lake. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about dying. A lot of people today fear death. A lot of people today won't talk to you. They won't even talk about death because it scares them so much. Even some folks that have been saved have great concerns. Now, I understand that because we've never been through it. Look, we sit here and talk about the beauty of heaven. But the beauty we're used to is right here. You with me? The beauty we're used to is right here on this earth. And this is what we're used to. We talk about that, but it's hard for us to have a great concept of heaven. And a lot of people's concept is so warped. Just can I say this to you? You ain't going to be floating on a cloud plucking on a harp, all right? If you believe that, that ain't going to happen. And by the way, you're not going to have to meet St. Peter at the pearly gates and talk to him and get him to let you in. That is not true at all, okay? You said, preacher, what's it going to be like? Not exactly sure. I'm not really sure. Don't really know. And we talk about it. We talk about loved ones when they die, and we conjecture about what they're doing in heaven. But we don't know what they're doing. I've heard some people talk about stuff, and it aggravated me because it's definitely anti-scripture and ain't going to happen, not going to be there, you know. I won't even mention what I'm thinking right now. It'll make me mad now, okay? Hey, I understand, we don't understand what it is. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not excited about dying. Dying's a process. I'm not excited about the process of dying. God helping me, I've told him, hey, Lord, I'd really like to go like Mom did. Boom, she's gone. Just out of here, man. That was it. Came and she was there in the floor. She was gone. Now the paramedics came out and they worked, but she was gone. It's done. Leave it alone, okay? Now that might be hard on my wife or my kids, but on me, that's the way I want to go. I think of Brother Stapleton. Brother Stapleton went in his recliner. Man, that's a good way to go too. All right, that'd be all right. Brother Soul went in the bed. He went to sleep that night, and the next morning he was gone. That's not a bad way to go. I'd go for that, but I don't get to choose. But I'm going to tell you, however it comes, whichever way, God's grace is sufficient. It'll be sufficient. It's sufficient. We read over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the testimony of the Apostle Paul, and he says in verse 6, he said, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. So what's he saying? He's saying God's grace, hey, is sufficient for my salvation. It was sufficient for my suffering. It was sufficient for my service. God's grace was sufficient for my sacrifice to him in giving. And he said, it's sacrifice, his grace sufficient when it comes time to sail away. Not worried about it. His grace is sufficient. I can remember hearing a young lady talking. She said, she was telling us about this. She was dying. We knew it, she knew it. And she was telling us about the conversation she had with her pastor. And she said, you know, she said, I'm a little bit worried about it. But it was not, and she said, her pastor said, don't worry, God will give you grace. God will give you grace. Man, I believe it. I believe it. Now I can hear maybe some of you saying, hey, preacher, it's easy for you to read those verses and tell us all about one that's gone. You don't know how bad things are for me. You're right, I don't. But I know this. I know His grace is sufficient. I know it. You may think your situation is worse than any other. And if you do think that, let me direct you to the book of James, chapter 4, and verse 6, where the Bible says, He giveth more grace. He giveth more grace. If you're struggling, over this matter of grace, you're struggling with that thought that His grace is sufficient, there's an answer, okay? There's an answer. You say, preacher, how do I get it? Well, look with me in Hebrews chapter 4, and we'll be done this morning. Hebrews chapter 4. Now, James chapter 4, verse 6 says, He giveth more grace. So, well, how do I get it? Hebrews chapter 4. Would you look at verse 16? Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of what? Grace. That we may obtain mercy and find what? Grace to help in time of need. Time of need. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying His grace is sufficient for you. It's sufficient for me. It's sufficient for everybody. That's true for today, tomorrow, and forever. His grace is sufficient. You need more than go to the throne of grace and ask Him for it. Ask Him for it. You may be enduring some difficult things. You may be enduring things today that nobody else really, hardly anybody knows about what you're going through. Can I say this to you? Don't think you can't make it. God will give you the grace you need if you'll come to Him. Come to Him. Have you come to Him? You know, I'm so glad I don't struggle along in life alone. It ain't just me paddling my canoe upstream. I'm not by myself. You say, preacher, you got a wife. I know that. But hey, it's not just me and her. The Lord gives grace. The Lord gives grace. Do you need more today? Then come to Him. Come to Him. Hey, have you ever enjoyed that grace of salvation? You ever experienced that grace? I found in my life that the more I experience grace, the better it is. It just gets gooder and gooder and gooder, all right? All the time. All the time. Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed?